Well, we're a couple of weeks into the back-to-school sales, and that means we're about a little more than 2 weeks away from the beginning of the school year for most public K-12 schools in western Wisconsin. Teachers and staff are generally back to work next week, preparing for that influx of students, and they have a lot to prepare for. Not only will lesson plans and curriculum be on their minds, but they'll also be on the front lines for the challenges presented by poverty, mental health issues, and handheld technologies. We'll talk about those challenges as we look ahead to the new school year here in western Wisconsin on the West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thank you for joining us. And also joining us today are Sue Devine, a science and social studies teacher in the Eau Claire Area School District at North Star Middle School. Among her accomplishments, she was named Wisconsin's Middle School Teacher of the Year in 2015. Sue Devine, glad to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Barbara Van Dorn is a school counselor at Lake Holcomb School. She's been recognized as Wisconsin's Special Services Teacher of the Year in 2017. Barbara Van Dorn, good to have you along.
Good morning.
And John Humphreys is superintendent of Thorpe Public Schools. He served for 2 years as president of the Wisconsin School Psychologists Association and was a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction in 2017. John Humphreys, good to have you along.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Later this hour, we'll hear also from Amy Trainer, who announced Friday that she's leaving her position at DeLong Middle School in Eau Claire to design and eventually lead a new public charter school in Mondovi. So it's a big topic. We'll touch a number of issues, but we want you to have a say in that as well. Join us with your question, comment, story, or idea by calling 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. So to open, I'd like to ask each of you essentially the same question. As you prepare for the coming year, what are the biggest challenges facing you, facing your students, facing your school? And Sue Devine, let's start with you as you prepare for a new school year at North Star Middle School.
The biggest challenge is just getting our classrooms ready is just a very small part of it. The bulletin boards, et cetera, the class list, getting all of the lesson planning ready, and just to make it exciting and fun. And, you know, it's a challenge to have children come in. It's that first couple of weeks that I think are really crucial to get to know each individual student and really build a relationship with them. And that's a challenge, but, you know, when you have 150, 160 students or whatever, and it's just, it's exciting, and it's, that is a challenge because you have to, I always feel like that first 3 weeks, you have to really get to know them as an individual and where their struggles might lie. And their weaknesses and their strengths.
If I understand, you teach eighth grade, is that correct?
Yes, and you had said social studies, but it's eighth grade science, physical
grade science.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are actually meeting just all new kids every year.
Yes.
It's not like there's some carryover from the previous.
No, I used to have that, and that was really interesting. But now it's a brand new group coming in. It's amazing. That's one of the exciting things about teaching is to have these new. You know, wonderful people to help grow.
And the fact that kind of the top priority is getting to know them individually, that's a lot of people to get to know individually in a short period of time.
Well, relationships is number one. If a child doesn't believe in themselves, we're going to have some challenges. But if a child doesn't know that you believe in them, that's going to be heightened. So I really work hard, and every teacher out there does this. I know you mentioned Teacher of the Year. I believe that every teacher out there should have that label Teacher of the Year, because I don't know a teacher that doesn't give their 150% in helping kids to be their best every day and build those relationships. And it takes a lot of time. There are some that have the red flags that you can tune in on more. But, you know, there's those other ones that are more quiet that also have a story going on. They each have a story. And the whole premise is for teachers to find that story and work together to make them successful, happy people.
Well, Barb Van Dorn, how do the challenges at Lake Holcomb Schools compare to those that Sue Devine was detailing in Eau Claire as far as getting to know those students? And of course, in your job, you're getting to know them in all sorts of ways.
The district that I'm from is K-12. So
in those 300 kids, we get to form a relationship at the very start. And we're always getting new students in as well. But I would say that our biggest challenges for our district are probably staffing, making sure that we have the right people in place and that we can keep those student, those individuals. Also, mental health, but not just for our students, but also for our staff. I'm really pleased and happy that attention is being focused on mental health, and that not only attention, but resources through funding through the state legislature, but you know, that also carries through with the adults that we're working with in the building. Because even though those figures of 20% of our students have a mental health concern during the time that they're students in our schools, you know, those figures don't go away. And adults, 20% of our adults also have a mental health concern. And so meeting that need is important as well.
John Humphreys, you have an administrator's eye to the new school year. What are the big challenges at Thorpe for the school year that begins in September?
Thanks, Dean. I'm really excited for the additional state funding that we've received, and that's helped us expand some programs and add staffing in certain program areas. The biggest challenge for us is just facing some inequities in funding. Thorpe has traditionally been a low-revenue school district. So where some districts in our area might get $11,000 or $12,000 per student, we've been held below $10,000 for years. It's gotten better. The legislature has taken some steps in the right direction. There's certainly more work to be done at a district-level funding and equity level. And then certainly we deal with the same things that Sue and Barb had talked about, children's mental health, poverty. We're dealing a lot with traumatic situations these days and learning a lot about how to help kids who grew up with traumatic situations in their home. In fact, our back-to-school speaker is a Thorpe alumni who wrote a very eloquent piece for her school district about her experiences with trauma when she was a child here in Thorpe and got through it because of a couple of really caring adults in her life here at Thorpe High School.
We are talking about back to school here. It's the back to school edition of the West Side, and we're looking ahead at the coming school year here in western Wisconsin. In researching for this program, the recurring theme I've heard from educators is the changing landscape of public education. All three of you are veteran educators. What are the biggest challenges you've seen in the past decade or so? And John Humphreys, let's start with you.
Well, challenges in the past decade, as we've talked about, student mental health has become more of a salient issue for us. In fact, Wisconsin's youth suicide rate is well above the national average. We've gotten more focused at providing training and support for our teachers around those issues. In fact, we have in our school what's called a sensory room, and some schools call it a break room or a chill room, whatever it might be. It's a place that kids, when they're becoming so frustrated and agitated, that they can go to decompress and let off some steam and return to the classroom ready to learn and ready to engage. Staffing those rooms, getting the right equipment, whether it be a treadmill or sensory activities that they can do, squishy clay, all kinds of things to become more acclimatized to the child's needs and allow them to get out some of the stress and discomfort that they're feeling because of trauma or mental health. Those are big things for us. On the other side, Dean, I think academically, Wisconsin is facing an opportunity and both a challenge as well with things like elementary reading. Our elementary reading scores have flatlined for about 30 years. Luckily, the research on how kids learn to read has really given us a lot of opportunity to improve that. And that's an exciting opportunity for all of us in education. In fact, I'm going to be meeting next week with some university leaders and legislators to look at trying to create a regional program to improve instruction for new teachers about how they teach reading so Wisconsin's not sort of stuck in the doldrums.
Sue Devine, how have things changed in your classroom during the time that you've been a teacher, and particularly in the last 10 years or so? Is it still pretty much the same job, or are things a lot different?
I think things are a lot different. It's funny that you say the last 10 years, because I'm feeling that the last 10 years. I think that the biggest obvious change that I see is that we have, like, getting back to the mental health, that we have 1 out of 5 students face mental health issues. Over 80% of incidents go untreated, and those who receive the treatment, 75% is administered in schools. Our job as teachers teaching a curriculum is a very small part of that now, because if you don't have, as Tony Evers quoted, I'll quote him, if students aren't well, they're not going to learn. And that is so true. You can have somebody with such natural intelligence and great creative thinking skills, but if that child is suffering, you know, due to whatever it may be, bullying, social media, if that child is suffering, he or she will not advance to where they can be. They won't reach their highest potential. It's very sad because a lot of these kids, especially in middle school, you don't know what their story is. So I always feel like it's my job to find out their story, and some will let you know. It's a real talent. It's a real gift to be able to seek those out, to find those ones that need that help and to get them the help they need.
Good segue to you, Barbara Van Dorn. As a school counselor, your job is defined by what's going on in your students' lives. How are the problems of today's student different than those you were dealing with earlier in your career?
I think kids are the same. Basically, they are the same. And there are different issues that they're being presented with. But feeding off of just a next step in what John was saying about what we're doing to address those students who do have mental health concerns that are brought into the building, we also need to look at mental health as health. And just as with health and health care, we're making sure that people are healthy, we're also putting things into our programming for schools to make sure that our kids are mentally healthy. And so we have social-emotional learning that is to make kids stronger and more resilient so that they are able to handle the challenges that they face.
So is that part of the curriculum then? Do you work with the teachers?
And that's also part of the initiative and the state level. And so there's a lot that's going into mental health. But there's also a healthy component that's going in to support mental health, not just to work with those who are having deeper problems that need to be addressed. And so if we're looking to make our whole student body healthy, you know, that's going to help everyone and raise everyone up.
Dean, if I could jump in here, I just want to reflect on something Barb brought up earlier over in Lake Holcomb. I know that the challenge of teacher recruitment and retention is something that we're all feeling, and I don't know, Sue, if at your middle school you're also seeing that.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, getting the right people and getting people who are adequately trained, especially in certain areas like science, math, special education, some of these upper-level courses are really, it's a real challenge to get people to join the field, which is unfortunate because I think we would all agree it's a wonderful career and a wonderful field in which to work.
And I think we don't promote that enough. You know, we often talk about the challenges because they're foremost in our brain. But at the same time, education is a great place to work and have a career and to make a difference and to have a feeling of purpose. And that's a message we need to get out to everyone, too, because then we won't discourage people from going into the profession.
Yes. I can speak on the behalf of my son, who is starting his second year teaching, and he is going to become a wonderful teacher. I know he already is. He's finding out that the families need to work, the parents, we need to work with the teachers. The schools, it's same old, same old. The parents need to work together with the teachers, the administration. If we work together, it can only be the greatest of all, you know. So building those relationships, not only with the students, but with those parents and working together. You know, the old saying is, in the olden days, what was it? Like when you went home and told if you got in trouble at school, you know, the kids were afraid if their parents were going to be called. I was one of those. So that has gone away. Now it's the teacher worries. If you know, it, I just feel like we need to go back to the old sometimes.
I have a healthy balance.
Healthy balance. There you go.
Back to school is our topic today on the West Side. What challenges are facing our students, our teachers, our administrators, and our parents as we enter the 2019-2020 school year? Our guests for the hour are Lake Holcomb School Counselor Barb Van Dorn, Thorpe Superintendent John Humphreys, and Eau Claire North Star Middle School teacher Sue Devine. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from Amy Trainer. She's a 20-year teacher at DeLong Middle School who co-chaired Governor Evers' transition team and announced last week that she'd be leaving Eau Claire to design and eventually lead a new public charter school in Mondovi. Do you have concerns about your kids' or your grandkids' school experience? Are they getting what they need to be successful as adults? And if not, what fixes do you recommend? Join us with your ideas at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. Our topic this week on The West Side is back to school, focused on the challenges and opportunities that will present themselves to students, teachers, and administrators once the school doors open for the new year. Our guests for the hour are Thorpe Superintendent John Humphreys, Eau Claire North Star Middle School teacher Sue Devine, and Lake Holcomb School Counselor Barb Van Dorn, and we'll be back with them in just a bit. But Friday I got a chance to talk with Amy Trainer, who had just announced that she is leaving the Eau Claire Area School District after 20 years at DeLong Middle School to take on a year-long project of designing a new charter school for the school district of Mondovi, which is set to open a little more than a year from now, at which time she will become the lead teacher at that school. She was named Wisconsin Middle School Teacher of the Year in 2013, and she currently is president of the Wisconsin Teacher of the Year Network. She also served recently as the co-chair for Governor Tony Evers' transition team. Amy Trainer spent her first 16 years at DeLong as a mathematics teacher, but more recently held the title of instructional coach.
Most instructional coaches, what they do if there's a really good, solid coaching structure is they really just walk alongside teachers and support them with whatever maybe the goals that that teacher set for the year, helping support those goals. Really, the ultimate goal is to help the teacher to increase student learning. And so whatever the teacher wants to learn around or wants support around, it's really about meeting the teachers where they are to help them meet their goals. And thinking and keeping in mind what the building goals are, too, and helping to influence the teacher's practice and instruction with what the building goals are. And so it's kind of just holding that those pieces together for teachers. It's just like anything else. You know, basketball needs a coach. Yeah. If you're a football player, you need a coach. Teachers need coaches, too. They need people to bounce ideas off of and think through problems with. And that's really what an instructional coach is there to do.
Now, as a former Wisconsin Middle School Teacher of the Year, you have the credentials and the credibility to do that kind of coaching. What are the most common things that teachers need to be coached up about?
I think the most things that teachers come to me with questions about or wanting help with are probably around engagement of students. And oftentimes it's, will you come into my classroom and just watch? A lot of things that we're working on are equity in the classroom. So am I calling on all students? Do they all have a voice in the learning opportunities that I'm providing? So a lot of it is about engagement of students in their learning and how they can do better or get better at that.
Now, Eau Claire is the largest school district in western Wisconsin and has the luxury of having a position like instructional mm-hmm. coach. What do districts do to fill that need if they don't have a staffer like that?
I think a lot of principals take on that role. In Wisconsin, we have the educator effectiveness model. And through that model, there's a lot of observations by principals, but then a lot of conversations around those observations, which is, I feel like is a good change from our old evaluation model, if you want to say it that way. Now it's more about the conversations around the teaching practice, and there's very specific components of that practice. And so I think probably the principal does that. I know a lot of schools will have teachers do it for each other. So if they have an off period, or they'll start doing some things called instructional rounds, where they might get a sub or two for a morning and then visit other teachers' classrooms and give each other feedback. And another way to go about that is just this PLC process, this professional learning community process that a lot of schools are using, and that's just really teachers coming together to talk about their practice. So I think those are probably ways that other schools are going about that.
It was just announced that you are going to be taking on a new challenge working with the Mondovi School District. Talk about what that's all about.
Yeah, so the Mondovi School District got a grant to open, reopen Anthony Acres, or Anthony School as Anthony Acres Charter School. So it's a 6-12 school focused on project-based, place-based learning, and really looking at the education of a child differently. It's not better than what you would see in a traditional school. It's just different, and some kids need a different learning opportunity. So I will be working with the Mondovi School District and a new oncoming governance board to think through what will that school look like, how will we educate students differently in that school, and really planning that school so that we can open it in 2020 for students.
And that's designed to be a teacher-powered school. What does that mean?
Yeah, so a teacher-powered school means there really won't be a principal. As the lead teacher, I will take on those administrative responsibilities. But it's really just a cohort of teachers that are working together to provide the best opportunities for students. So it's a really neat idea, and it's something that's happening a lot in Minnesota and in other states. There are a few teacher-powered schools in Wisconsin, but not very many of them. I think it's a really great way to really impact students because teachers, you know, they know what's best for their kids. And sharing those responsibilities has a different level of accountability within the teachers to provide that experience for kids.
Now, will that be a charter school that's available to people from other districts to attend?
It will. It's a very small charter school. It is a public charter school, so it is an instrumentality of the Mondovi School District. So want to make that really clear that it is a public charter because that's very important to me as an educator that it is still public. And yes, they will open it up to open enrollment from other districts, other kids from other districts.
Now, you served last fall and winter as the co-chair of Governor Evers' transition team. From that experience, what did you learn about the governor's hopes for public education?
Yeah, so I've actually been working with Governor Evers for many years as superintendent. He worked on a lot of the teacher voice and leadership activities that I was on. So I've been working with him a lot on educational issues, and I think he will carry through a lot of what he has believed in. And, you know, that mantra of what's best for kids is best for Wisconsin is truly at the heart of what he believes. And I think he will keep making decisions that are best for kids, you know, really putting forth that budget this year that was increasing funding up to 2/3, I think is still really important to him. The budget that was passed, you know, made a down payment on what we really would like to see and need to see in Wisconsin. And I think he'll keep fighting for that. The increase in special education funding that we received through the budget, I think, was a really good down payment, again, towards what we're really looking for with special education funding. And I think his emphasis on mental health is really something that we're seeing in the schools as a real big need, and not just for students, but for teachers, because teachers take on a lot of that, I guess what their kids come to them with, they take a lot of that on themselves. Because they are such caring, compassionate people, that they need the support as well through those mental health supports.
During your time working with Governor Evers, now Governor Evers, and previously Department of Public Instruction, mm-hmm. Superintendent Evers, is there a particular area you felt you had some influence in working with him, or an area that you spent some time talking with him about hoping for change?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things is just the level of teacher voice in policies that are made in our state. That was a project that we were working on towards the end of his superintendency. And I'm hopeful that will continue because you know, teachers know what's best for their kids. And the closer that we can get to the decision-making point and what that looks like, a lot of the things that have been done over the last 8 years have been done for teachers and not necessarily with teachers. And I think that's something that he's really cognizant of, and something that he formed the Teacher of the Year Council within the Department of Public Instruction. That group still meets. And that is a way for the Department of Public Instruction to really get feedback from what is going on in schools, and what is and how are some of these policies affecting students. And sometimes that's the layer that we forget when we're making policies at the state level of this is going to affect students ultimately. And how is this going to affect students? And I don't think that's always something that's thought about when policies are made at the state level. And I think that's a missing key, and it's an important piece of kind of this teacher leadership that we're seeing happen around the United States, and just, you know, empowering teachers to use their voice to really benefit their kids.
So your new role with Mondovi School District in planning the Anthony Akers Charter School to open next fall.
Mm-hmm.
Means this is the first fall in 20 years that August will be winding down and you're not going to be going back to school to teach. You'll be instead planning to get that other school ready.
Right.
What will you miss?
I will definitely miss connections with kids. I think even as an instructional coach, I coached cross country, I coached track. So I had those connections with kids still. So I'll have to figure out what that looks like for me. I will probably just go into the Mondovi schools and just, you know, spend time in classrooms and get to know teachers and kids there. You know, that's the piece that as a teacher, no matter what role you're in, that's why you got into education. And it's the thing that drives me is just talking to students and hearing what they have to say. I think that's, you know, when we talk about teacher voice, I think that's a piece that's missing, too, is we often forget that students have a voice and we need to hear what they have to say about how they're learning and what they're learning and, what they have to say about their education.
Amy Traynor, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the new position.
Thank you. Thanks.
Amy Traynor is the newly announced lead teacher for the Anthony Akers Charter School within the School District of Mondovi. She'll be designing that school for grades 6 through 12 in the coming year, with a plan to open in the fall of 2020. She spent the last 20 years as a math teacher and instruction coach at DeLong Middle School in Eau Claire. We're talking about education, looking at a back-to-school focus here in western Wisconsin. And our guests today are Sue Devine, a science teacher at Eau Claire Area School District at North Star Middle School, Barbara Van Dorn, a school counselor at Lake Holcomb School, and John Humphreys, the superintendent of Thorpe Public Schools. So one of the things Amy Traynor brought up, Sue Devine, was teacher burnout. Mental health issues do also affect adults. We've talked about how it affects students and a little bit about the adult effect. It's an issue that's come up many times as we've done research for this topic is the area of teacher burnout. Teaching is an intense business. Is some amount of burnout something we should expect?
That's a loaded question, because really, I'm so blessed to be a teacher, and I'm blessed to wake up every day and go do what I do. There's not a morning that I'm not excited to go see those faces and those kids, and my friends, staff, the entire staff, the maintenance crew, our green team, the cooks. It's just a great place to be. I feel lucky. I feel I'm at the best school ever, North Star Middle School. Thank you, Tim Scootley and Kit Schiefelbein. It's just, it's an exciting place to go every day. But no, you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head. It's hard work. It's hard work that I enjoy. And it's hard work that I think each teacher really, truly enjoys. We're built to keep giving and giving and helping and doing. We're compassionate people. I speak on behalf of all teachers that we all want the best for our kids. And I like that Amy said teachers know what's best for their kids. I like that she said that. We really do. And I don't know. I don't know. Can you help me out, Barb?
Barbara Van Dorn, many teachers and school staffers are as passionate as the passion we're hearing from Sue Devine about their work. That passion can lead to burnout if not directed correctly. Are there efforts in place in Lake Holcomb schools to make sure teachers have a work-life balance that can help combat that sort of problem?
Right now,
I don't think there's a school district anywhere that has probably a good model for addressing the stress the teachers are feeling. We often hear about self-care and put the burden back on the teachers to take care of themselves. But really, it's a system that has created this. You know, we talked first that many of us have been in education for quite a long time. And in the last 25 years, we've seen a lot of changes. And some of those changes are that there are increased expectations for teachers. There's also less autonomy. And we know that those are two factors that really lead to a breakdown in our own mental health and increase in stress. Then we talked about trauma. Well, there's secondary stress trauma that comes in because every day you go home and you're worrying about that kid and whether he's okay or whether she's okay and what's going to happen. There are a lot of things that the system has put on educators. And that's why education right now for teachers is one of the higher stress jobs in the nation. And you can look up teacher stress on Google and a lot of information will come up about this. And I think until we look at the system and how we've created a system now that has so many more expectations, so many more initiatives that are in place that teachers are supposed to do and constantly changing, and a lot of the supports are gone, and a lot of the autonomy is gone, so that teachers aren't in charge of their own workplace. That's why, you know, this teacher-powered model that Amy talked about is so appealing to people because they want to get back into making decisions for their own classrooms. And so we need to look at that whole system and what we're doing to teachers, because the number one reason teachers are leaving the profession isn't because of money. It's because of teacher stress.
Yes.
And so if the field is dwindling as far as the number of educators that are out there, then we have to look at why they're leaving.
And John Humphreys, as administrator, you're dealing with recruiting teachers all the time and trying to retain teachers.
Absolutely.
How much does stress play into what is being seen as a shortage of teachers, particularly for more rural school districts?
Well, Dean, it's just such a huge topic, and all the pieces everywhere from what Amy said through Barb and Sue all wrapped together. And I'll tell you, as the marketplace for teacher candidates has shrunk, and as we meet as superintendents in the area, we talk a lot about helping our teachers succeed and survive and make sure that they're able to get the resources they need. Amy talked about being an instructional coach in Eau Claire. Well, we had that in Thorpe last year. We had a half-time instructional coach just for grades K through 3, and she did an amazing job of supporting our teachers as we were working very hard to improve reading instruction in our school district. So we care a great deal about our employees, and some of what we can do is as simple as saying, folks, when you need a break, you take it. I had actually last spring, we said, if teachers need a break in the middle of the day, we'll sub in. You just call the office. If you need a break to step out and just recollect yourself, that's fine to do. And I've gone so far as to say to teachers, you know, we have an expectation that they're going to respond in a timely manner to emails from parents, et cetera. But when you need that break, folks, it's okay. We want to be here for you. We create a loving, caring community for our children. We also do that for our staff. And I know every superintendent that I work with in our region is deeply committed to the success of their staff and takes as much care as they can for them in the context of the challenge that we have with resources, et cetera. But creating a caring environment is never expensive. It's just a way of doing business.
We continue our topic of back to school with our guests, Sue Devine, who teaches social studies and science at North Star, or teaches science, not social studies.
Yes,
eighth grade science at North Star Middle School in Eau Claire, Barb Van Dorn, a guidance counselor in the Lake Holcomb School District, and John Humphreys, the superintendent of Thorpe Public Schools. There's still time to get in your question or comment about the state of public education in western Wisconsin. Join us by calling 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is The West Side, and our guests today are helping us learn more about what it's like to be in front of the classroom nowadays and what it's like to deal with students and parents. Lake Holcomb School Counselor Barb Van Dorn, Thorpe Superintendent John Humphreys, and North Star Middle School teacher from Eau Claire, Sue Devine, are helping us talk about the issue. Funding for general education went up in the state budget. Not as much as Governor Evers had proposed, but it did go up. Sue Devine, how do you expect to see that increase impact students in the Eau Claire School District?
I'm just hoping that the money will be used more for mental health, training teachers, even if it's on our PD type of days to help teachers, support teachers.
By PD, what do you
on professional development days?
Okay.
We need more training. We need more training, and I'm hoping that money goes toward that.
We've heard stories about teachers spending money out of their own pockets in order to fund their classrooms. Is that still common?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes, that's not. It's, you know, and it doesn't even matter to me. I mean, I know that people are not going to like that I said that, but teachers are going to do what they need to do to create that environment for their students to be the most successful. Today, you know, we meaning the schools, the public schools, we deal with severe mental illness. We deal with extreme emotionally behavior problems. We feed kids two meals a day and sometimes clothing. We also at North Star Middle School provide weekend meals for those families that need it. So all of these areas are places where money can be put toward our students.
John Humphreys, as the primary administrator for the Thorpe School District, you're dealing with budget balancing as a regular part of your job. Does the increased state aid in the budget mean districts like yours will be less likely to have to come to the taxpayers in the district for permission to increase property taxes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Dean, we've invested significantly in both staff development, as Sue talked about, but also in our teacher salaries. It's a competitive marketplace for teachers. Every one of our teachers got a minimum of a $1,500 raise this year, which is substantial. And the top of our pay scale is certainly not what it would be in Eau Claire. And yet people drive here from Chippewa Falls, from Eau Claire, to take positions partly because of the culture and climate that we're creating and our ability to respond to student needs as quickly and effectively and efficiently as possible.
Now, one area the state budget provides its first increase in a decade is for special education, providing more than $100 million over the coming 2 years of additional state support. Barb Van Dorn, what will that mean to students with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the Lake Holcomb District?
I think we've always met the needs of our students who have those concerns or those issues. And so I think what it means is that instead of taking money out of general funding in order to make sure that we meet the needs of our special ed population, that, you know, it can be more of a balanced approach. And so the money that should be going towards that will be, like I said, I feel comfortable that we've been meeting the needs of students already. You know, kind of going off in a different direction is that this is a really great time to be a student in the state of Wisconsin because there are so many programs and things available to them. I just look at high school students in any state or any district in the state that get at least 18 college credits when they leave, if that's what they want. And many get more than that because we have teachers who are trained to teach college courses right in our district. Or we have distance learning where they can take a college class directly from that university or that technical school. So that's something that parents appreciate, and kids really then get a taste of what college is like. And that's just one aspect of what kids are able to do now that they weren't able to do as easily or as readily, you know, years before. So in many ways, this is a great time to be a kid.
800-228-5615 if you want to jump in and join the conversation. You've got a few minutes left to do that. Spinning off what you said, Barb Van Dorn, though, part of the reason it's such a great time to be a kid is technology has made a lot of these advances possible. You talked about distance education where you can take a class, a Russian class from somebody in South Carolina who's teaching it, but you can take it for your own credit in your own school. John Humphreys, how is your school dealing with technology? And, you know, technology brings with it a lot of opportunity, but also a lot of challenges.
Yeah, we've been leveraging technology opportunities in the district for since before I got here. But this year, we'll actually have every student in grades 6 through 12 who will have a Chromebook. Those will all be new. And we're excited for kids to use that opportunity to do homework, to explore information, to interact with students from around the world. There are a lot of ways that technology is really revolutionizing education. And as Sue said, we have kids who are taking classes from other parts of the state and the nation. All of our teachers also got, last year, got a new smart board on the wall, which might not sound like a huge deal, but it was really neat to get about 50 of those in the district and do all the cross-training and support all at one time. And so technology is revolutionizing not only the child's experience, but the teacher's use of different instructional modalities.
Sue Devine, is there a point at which the technology can become a distraction rather than a positive?
Well, you're talking to an old soul here who is on board with, of course, advancing technology. And now this year we will have one-on-one devices. I've got them. Last spring we finally got the eighth grade to have one-on-one Chromebooks, and I'm very excited about that. So that's going to be an area that I will look into. As far as distractions, that's something that I personally will have to find out myself. But I know the kids love technology, and they end up teaching me, okay?
I come from the era that the calculators were about the size of a Chromebook. But nowadays, students have their own personal devices that they can use. Bart Van Dorn, how involved should teachers be in connecting with students as it relates to social media and things like that? Is it a way to connect with students? Is it another helpful tool for education? And what are the pitfalls?
I think it's a helpful tool for education, but we also have to maintain the role that we have, which is that we are a professional, we are an adult, and it has to stay kind of within those guidelines so that we don't step over into another area. None of us need to be our students' friends. We need to be friendly, but we also have to be able to offer support that an adult would offer. And so we need to always make sure that our role stays within that guideline. And I think that probably, then to answer your question about how far over we can be into social media when it's used as a tool, but not to have personal connections or personal relationships.
Yeah, I was going to say that would probably be the biggest distraction is to make sure that the kids are on devices for an educational purpose, and strictly that. But one of my most favorite things is when the kids, they do teach me, and they bring their technology into the classroom, and the whole classroom benefits from it, and it's exciting to be, that's where teachers are lifelong learners. That's where I get to be the learner, and my students benefit from that technology.
Do they have the smartphones? I mean, are they in the classroom with those, or what's the policy toward managing that?
Well, at North Star, we don't have the phones in the classroom, but now they have their devices. I'm personally think that phones should not be in the classroom. Now, that's my own personal opinion, because I feel that that part of technology has really not been the most positive. Has not had the most positive effect on kids. Kids are, they have their phone attached to their hip, and it's all social. And I think if they have that phone on them, what happens is now you get the bullying. Mm-hmm. Now you get that nasty, that negative. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we have to keep the technology educational. And
we just moved away from allowing smartphones in classrooms this year. All of our kids, they all need to be locked away in lockers, and they can look at their phones between classes or during their lunch period, but they're not going to have them in classes. And we're just expecting that if things are going to be a lot more smooth.
And I know I sound like an oldie here, but seriously, I'm so glad I didn't grow up with these phones. When, as far as the phones being turned off and in the lockers, so important. because the kids are now, their brains are, they're always waiting for that call, waiting for that whatever. They need to focus and take that distraction off their plate and really focus on what we're learning.
One topic I want to get to before, and this is one we could spend an hour on, but I want to shift because there's one other thing I heard as I was doing research for this from educators, is this trend toward retesting. And John Humphreys, I'm wondering if you can talk about that trend and whether it's a common practice in Thorpe schools.
Retesting.
In other words, you fail the test, then you get to you take it over again until you can pass it.
Well, this will be an interesting conversation because I have to ask, what's the goal, right? Is our goal that a child knows something at a certain point in time or that they learn whatever the skill or the knowledge is that we're trying to teach? To me, it's not so important that by Friday they know the names of the 50 states and the state capitals. But if they take that test and on Friday they don't do very well, there might be a lot of intervening factors. We've talked about trauma and mental health and other things. They might have had an incident at the home, whatever it might be. But if we give them time to retake the test and do better, they know it's about learning the information. It's not about a high-stakes exam.
Barb Van Dorn, does Lake Holcomb have policies about retesting?
We don't at this time, no. Not in the way that you described.
Yeah. I'm wondering under that, and obviously the benefits that John Humphreys details, I'm wondering what's the incentive for students to study if they know they're eventually going to be able to pass the test?
I have my own opinion on this. I do believe that we've done a disservice to our students with so much retesting. I can see the stress and anxiety in our students when most of them, I will say the ones that should retest, don't. And the ones that want to take the retake are the ones that had two wrong. I think it adds a component of stress and anxiety, high levels of anxiety. And We took something away from that self-pride, that self-esteem of, this is my own opinion, okay, that before, like, what a great feeling to study, and have that self-pride and ownership of getting that A or B, and you did it, and rather than hear a student say, oh, it's okay, I'll just take the retake. It's just, we're losing something with the discipline in our students. That's my own opinion.
I hear you. And that, what I said was my opinion, too. But if you don't pass your driver's test, you take it again. If you don't do well on the LSAT, take it again. Don't do well on the SAT or ACT, take it again until you learn the information and do a better job. And I agree, there should be some accountability with it. But I also think we have opportunities to do better in our lives. And if our goal is learning, let's focus on that.
We've got about time for each of you to give us your 10-second answer on Barb Van Dorn, what are you looking forward to in the coming year?
Lake Holcomb got a school mental health grant. I'm really looking forward to bringing more additional services to our rural community through that. And so that's exciting for me.
Sue Devine.
I'm just looking forward to another wonderful year with great kids. And really, just coming together as a staff and families and communities to help what we're all here for are those kids.
John Humphreys.
The science of reading. Our elementary kids are going to be reading like never before, and we have better interventions in reading, math, and social and emotional behavioral issues, too.
What a great conversation. Thank you to our guest this hour, Sue Devine, science teacher at Eau Claire Area School District at North Star Middle School, Barb Van Dorn, school counselor at Lake Holcomb School, John Humphreys, the superintendent of Thorpe Public Schools. Earlier this hour, we also heard from Amy Trainer, who's announced Friday that she's leaving her position at the Long Middle School in Eau Claire to design and eventually lead a new public charter school in Mondovi. Allie Schultz and Kate Spranger provided publicity for the hour. Mort Cypress was our on-air producer. I'm sorry, it was Catherine Thomas, our on-air producer for today. And the producer for this hour was Clara Neipert, who spent the summer as our journalism intern. Clara, great job. We look forward to hearing you do great things in the future. West Side's on hiatus next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This has been the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.